O sorrow dread, our God is dead. But by his expiation of our sins upon the cross, he gained for us salvation. Amen. The text of God's word for our special seventh midweek Lenten meditation in the series Behold the Lamb of God is recorded in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, which reads as follows. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, dearly beloved watchers with him in his bitter passion. Throughout this holy season of Lent, those of us who have gathered together here in the house of God on Wednesday evenings to meditate upon our Savior's bitter passion, enjoyed a singular opportunity to behold the Lamb of God, the God-appointed sacrifice for sin, and to see all that our Savior bore in our place to be our Redeemer. The price required by God's justice was indeed high. So high, in fact, that not one human being could ever hope to pay the price, and thus to redeem himself. For the Bible says, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. On the contrary, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. And the redemption of their soul is precious. First of all, Jesus had to keep all of God's law perfectly in our place, because that is what God's word, God's law, demands of us. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And Jesus did just that by his holy life here on earth as one of us, as a true human being. So that when we truly confide in him and his merits alone for our salvation, his perfect righteousness is imputed to us. It is charged or credited to our account with the Father in heaven. For by the obedience of one, namely Christ, shall the many who were made sinners in Adam's transgression, shall the many be made righteous, the Bible tells us. And you and I have God's own word on that. But that isn't all. Jesus also had to pay the penalty of our guilt, the wages of sin. For God's law also says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We earned those wages for ourselves by our many sins against God. And Jesus had to suffer the death penalty for the capital crime of sin, even though he himself had never sinned. He had to suffer death, not just temporal death at the end of this earthly sojourn, but eternal death, the God-forsakenness and torture of the damned in hell. But Jesus took care of that too. He suffered it in our place, as we heard before in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53. Yes, beloved sinner, the holy, sinless Lamb of God, bore your guilt. He received your indictment under the law. He endured your abuse. He accepted your death sentence. And he suffered your punishment. And in so doing, he accomplished, as we heard in our meditation last week, he accomplished in full your redemption. He bought you back from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. He ransomed you from the wrath of God and from everlasting damnation. Not with the currency of the realm, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. What a price he paid. What a price he paid for you. What a price he paid for me. Now today is Good Friday, the anniversary of the very day on which Christ our Savior completed his great work of redemption. And it is only fitting that as our meditation, our last meditation during this Holy Lenten season, we examine the Savior's last great act on our behalf. Come with me then, just one more time, to the foot of his blood-stained, old, rugged cross on Calvary's hill. And on this Good Friday evening, behold the Lamb of God as he lays down his life for you. We will see that he did this, first of all, to make the all-sufficient, perfect ransom payment for our sins. And secondly, to show us by his perfect example how we Christians, how we believers in his perfect merits for our salvation, how we should die when our time comes. St. Luke tells us that when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, after he had shouted that triumphant word which we considered last week in our meditation, it is finished, namely that his work of redeeming the world had been accomplished, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He died. Now notice first of all that Jesus' loving relationship with his Heavenly Father had been restored in this, his last moment. For he had paid the wages of sin for all mankind, suffered the very pains of hell itself for us, as he clearly demonstrated by that anguished and mournful cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But now, having endured the righteous wrath of God against sin, his righteous wrath against sinners, his righteous anger against us, vile, rebellious traitors, Jesus was once again at peace with his Heavenly Father. He had completed perfectly the work that his Heavenly Father had sent him down to this world of sin and shame to do for poor, helpless, wretched, hopeless sinners like you and me. And Jesus now commended himself into his Father's keeping as he prepared to die. This in and of itself is of great comfort to us Christians. For if Jesus had not completed all that was necessary to reconcile us unto God, if he had not fulfilled every single prophecy of the Old Testament scriptures concerning God's promised Messiah, if he had not kept every point of God's holy law perfectly in our place, in our stead as our substitute, and if he had not fully paid the wages of sin for every soul of man, then indeed God's justice would not have been satisfied. His wrath would not have been propitiated. And Jesus would have been a miserable failure as our Savior, who only took a stab at it, but fell far short of the mark. But thanks be to God, that was not the case. Jesus had completed his task, his divine mission, with perfection. And he could now rest secure in the arms of his heavenly Father, knowing that God was well pleased with his beloved Son. Now, in his final act as our Savior, Jesus laid down the last installment, as it were, on the price of our redemption. He laid down his very life for us. Jesus, the Holy Son of God, died. God died on Good Friday in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus became obedient unto death, Paul writes to the Philippians, even the death of the cross, the death of a malefactor, the death of capital punishment. When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him by the death of his Son, St. Paul writes to the Romans. By Jesus' temporal death on Calvary, when he gave up the ghost, when he surrendered his soul to God, when he separated his own soul from his body, now the payment was indeed complete. Now bear in mind, beloved hearers, that Jesus' death was a conscious, deliberate act, unlike our own death, when the soul or when our life is taken from us. Jesus laid down his life for us, the Bible tells us. He gave his life a ransom for many. This was a crucial part of Jesus' work of redemption. For he had told the Jews, John chapter 10, "Therefore, for that reason, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again," as he clearly demonstrated by his mighty resurrection from the dead on Easter morning. "This commandment have I received from my Father." This was part of his mission. And so when Jesus gave up the ghost, when he died on the accursed tree of the cross, it wasn't that the pain had finally taken its toll on him. It wasn't that cruel, inhumane torture had finally gotten the best of him. And it wasn't that the Romans, at the behest of the Jews, had finally succeeded in executing him by means of crucifixion. For as we heard in the gospel lesson read before, the soldiers didn't have to finish Jesus off by breaking his legs with a club as they had to finish off those other two malefactors who were crucified with him. Jesus surprised the soldiers. Jesus surprised the centurion who was in charge of those soldiers, who had to pierce his side to make sure that he wasn't seeing something that wasn't there. Jesus surprised Pontius Pilate, who marveled if he were already dead. Jesus surprised them all by dying before they could kill him. Why? Because he laid down his life on his own. Willingly, deliberately, consciously, knowing exactly what it would cost to redeem us. He gave his life a ransom for many, just as he promised he would do in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And so we pray with the hymn writer, O Jesus, thou crucified, who hast for our offenses died, grant that we e'er may cherish thy wounds, thy cross, thy bitter death, that we may never perish. But Jesus also accomplished something else for us by laying down his life as he did. He showed us by his perfect example how we Christians too should face the hour of our death, how we also should die. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, Jesus said with his very last breath. And by virtue of what he did for us, by virtue of what he accomplished for us, by virtue of our reconciliation to God on the basis of what he did, we can say the same. Even though the temporal death of believers is a consequence of sin, it is no longer a punishment for sin, because Jesus bore that punishment in our place. Rather, for the Christian, death is just a transition. It's a door through which we must go from temporal life here in this world, and even from the spiritual life of faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and from temporal anticipation of the crown of life, which is still off in the distance. It's the door through which we pass into eternal life, the mansions of God's heavenly home, where the Bible says there is fullness of joy and pleasures at God's right hand forevermore. No, my dear brethren, we do not have to fear death as the unbelievers have to fear it, because we don't have to fear God's wrath. We don't have to fear the judgment to come. For by faith in Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 1, we have peace with God. Our relationship with God is something completely different than it was before we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. This means that we have a heavenly Father who loves us. We have a heavenly Father who so loved us from before the foundation of the world that he chose us to come to faith in his Son, the Lamb of God. And by virtue of Christ's unspeakably great sacrifice in our place, to be heirs of everlasting life instead of perpetual death. Now, having that blessed ironclad assurance from the infallible Word of our God, we Christians can actually welcome the hour of our death. Not fear it, as do those whose confidence rests not in their Savior, but in their own works of merit in the sight of God, which amount to nothing. No one has to pray for us sinners, both now and in the hour of our death, in a vain attempt thereby to gain for us favor with God, apart from faith in Christ our Savior. For the Lord Jesus himself is our only mediator between God and men, the Bible tells us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he has already laid down his life as a ransom payment for our souls. Trust that, my dear fellow sinners. Cling to that precious good news of salvation as to your life ring in a treacherous tossing sea. Believe with all your heart that Jesus' life and Jesus' death have already paid your way into God's home above and reconciled you unto him, so that he no longer counts your trespasses against you, but regards you as righteous and holy in his sight. Know and be fully persuaded that by faith in your dear Savior and his merits alone, you are already God's dear child and an heir of heaven. For then, when the hour of death comes for you, you can, after the example of your Redeemer, close your eyes with peace and joy and confidence in your heart, sighing with your last breath, Father, dear Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Singing, I fall asleep in Jesus' wounds. There, pardon for my sins abounds. Yea, Jesus' blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress wherein before my God I'll stand when I shall reach the heavenly land. In peace and joy I now depart. God's child I am. With all my heart, I thank thee, death. Thou leadest me to the true life awaiting me. Redeemed by Christ, I fear not death. Lord Jesus, strengthen thou my faith. Amen. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us thy peace. Amen.